Chapter 41 of Tanya is considered to be one of the bedrock chapters, one of the foundational chapters. Every chapter in Tanya, of course, extremely important concepts to understand the thesis, the concepts, the ideas that the Alter Rebbe is developing in the book of Tanya. If not, the Alter Rebbe wouldn't write it. But chapter 41 is considered to be foundational in how to actually live our lives and what we should actually do. How to actually approach the service of Hashem, doing mitzvahs, and where our head should be. In the previous chapters, we spoke about, immediately preceding chapters, we spoke about how mitzvahs need to be done with emotion, with not just dryly done. Hashem doesn't just want us to do the mitzvahs and have them done. It's like, you know, you hire somebody to do work for you. You don't care what they're thinking. You want the work should get done. That's not the way Hashem wants. Hashem wants that when we do a mitzvah, we should have a relationship with Him. And the reason is, of course, very logical. The reason is because Hashem doesn't need the work done. Hashem doesn't need that the mitzvah should be done for Him. So if you or I, we need our house painted, we need our floors cleaned, we need our clothing cleaned, it doesn't matter what the cleaner or the construction person is thinking. As long as they do a good job, our bathroom is tiled, our clothes are cleaned, the paperwork is filed. I don't care what the professional is thinking, my accountant, my lawyer is thinking. As long as they do a good job and they fulfill the needs that I have. Hashem doesn't have any needs. And Hashem doesn't need the mitzvahs to get done. And this is, we read this clearly in the words of the Nevi'im, in the words of the prophets. Hashem says to us, you think I need your mitzvahs? You think you're accomplishing something by doing the mitzvahs? You're giving me something that I didn't have before? I have everything. What are you going to give me? The only thing I want from you, Hashem says to us, is I want the relationship. I want that you should serve me and you should care about me, Hashem says. And Hashem puts Himself into this box of need. Because obviously God doesn't need anything. God is perfect. God is outside of need, human needs. But Hashem puts Himself into this box, as we're soon going to see later in the chapter, that this refers to the level of spiritual energy that Hashem puts into the world that's called Shekhinah. The level of spiritual energy called Shekhinah is level of energy, is a certain quantity, a certain type of energy that Hashem puts into the world and sort of makes that energy dependent on how we act. If we act good, the level of energy, that Shekhinah energy, is going to be happy. If we act poorly, we act wrongly, we act against Hashem's will, then that level of energy actually goes into exile, actually is considered locked up in jail. And Hashem allows this to happen because that's what He decided. Why He decided, we don't know why He decided. But that's what He decided. And how do we know that He decided this? Because it says so in the Chumash. It says so in the book, words of our prophets. It says so in the Zohar, the recording of our mystical tradition. So that's how we know anything, because Hashem simply told it to us. How does anybody know anything about somebody else? Hashem told us. Hashem told us, meaning through the prophets, beginning with Adam, the first man, to Abraham, to Noah, and then to Abraham. And then, of course, to Moshe with the giving of the Torah in a yet greater measure, and through David HaMelech, King David, and then the book of Tehillim, which is full of mystical concepts, and his son Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, in the books of Shir HaShirim and Koheles, which are, of course, full of also full of mystical concepts. So this is how we know all these things. So that's what we spoke about in the previous chapters. We spoke about this. The idea that in order to fulfill mitzvahs, the way Hashem wants us to fulfill mitzvahs, we need to do not just dryly do the stuff, but we have to do it with emotion, with love of Hashem, fear of Hashem. And we gave the analogy, and this is from the Zohar, that without the fear and love, without avas Hashem, yiras Hashem, the mitzvahs don't fly up to heaven, they don't fly up to their source. And they don't bring down the energy that we would like them to bring down. They stay sort of stuck. until we are able to do the mitzvah or study the Torah the right way. We spoke about Shalishma and Shalolishma for the sake of heaven, not for the sake of heaven, doing things for ulterior motive, not ulterior motive, and all of what the difference is in the previous chapters, 39 and 40. We went through the four worlds and the four levels, and exactly which of the four levels does it, the certain mitzvahs go up to, and the study of Torah goes up to, if we do it the right way and if we do it not 100% the right way. And we spoke about the external aspects of the world, so the spiritual worlds, the internal aspects, that means the structure that Hashem creates for the energy to flow. In Hebrew, that's called the kelim, the vessels, the structure, the pipeline, which is of course also Hashem's energy. We spoke about the interior, spiritual, greater level of spirituality, which is the energy itself that flows with. This all we spoke about in the last chapter. So in this chapter 41, the Alter Rebbe says, everything that we mentioned to you, everything that we've spoken about, all of these levels, all of these relationships has to be prefaced by a very fundamental and bedrock type of attitude. And that is in Hebrew called Kabbalas Ol. In Sephardic Hebrew, Israeli Hebrew, Kabbalat Ol, accepting the yoke of heaven. If we do the mitzvahs in order to love Hashem, because we love Hashem, or because we fear Hashem, because we are fearful of punishment that we might get if we don't do these mitzvahs. We're afraid what's going to happen to our children, or to ourselves, what's going to happen to our soul when we pass away, or when we're still alive, what's going to happen to our energy. If we're afraid, and that's why we do the mitzvahs. Or we love Hashem, and we say, I love God so much because I've thought about my life, and I've thought about my soul, and I've thought about the world, and I thought about nature, and I see how amazing God is that created such a multidimensional universe with so many amazing things that are so geared just for humans. You can see how the entire world that we're living in is completely geared just for our existence, for our life. And if one little thing would be off, all of a sudden human life would not be existing. The life in the planets would not be existing. And Hashem is doing all of this every single day, every single moment. Wow, I love God. If that's our focus, and in fact, that is part of our davening. In fact, the when we go through our davening, it is talking about the grandeur of nature, the intricate manner which Hashem creates the world, the amazing detail that Hashem gives to each and every creature, and attention and to each and every creature's need, from big to small, from humans to animals to the smallest of animals. This is what we read about in our davening, all from the book of Tehillim, the book of Psalm, the book of Tehillim. But if that is the reason, the Alter Rebbe says, then we're missing the point. Then we're not serving Hashem. Then we're serving ourselves. So if the reason for us to do mitzvahs is because we're afraid that we're going to get punished, so why are you doing the mitzvah? Not for God. You're doing it for yourself. Yes, of course, you're doing the mitzvah for Hashem, but at the end of the day, who are you really worried about? Who are you really concerned about? Concerned about yourself. If you're doing the mitzvah in order to receive a reward, the reward doesn't have to be dollars in your bank account. It could be, but it could be closeness to God. It could be appreciation of spirituality. It could be a sense of appreciation for the spiritual world, because now you really feel so wonderful and so hot. Well, then it's, again, it's about you. It's about us. It's about the person. The Alter Rebbe says that, of course, all of these things flow and come out and are a product and a result of doing mitzvahs, of studying Torah, studying mystical aspects of Torah, and studying just the wonderful lessons of the Chumash. Of course, it makes you feel good. Of course, it makes you, you know, appreciate and feel like a wonderful. And we say this in the davening. We say, Ashreinu, how fortunate we are. Matov chalkeinu, how wonderful our portion is. Manayim garleinu, how wonderful our lot is, that we are Jews and that we are given all this. Of course, it makes us feel good. But if that's the reason, If that is the motivational reason, then you're missing the point. Then it's again about yourself. So what should be the motivational reason? And the answer is the motivational reason should be just because Hashem wants. And that is called Kabbalat Ol, Kabbalas Ol. That is called accepting the yoke of heaven the way an animal would take a plow, an ox would take a plow, then the farmer hitches the plow to the ox, the farmer hitches the driver of the chariot, hitches the horse to the chariot, or the horse to the wagon, and the horse knows it's a horse. I'm not a driver. I'm not a driver, I'm a horse. And where do I go? I go where the driver wants me to go. That's the way the Alter Rebbe says a Jew has to approach Torah. A Jew has to approach mitzvahs. Well, what am I? I am a creation of Hashem. What do? I do what Hashem wants. Do I understand it? Maybe. Do I appreciate it? Maybe. But what happens if I don't understand it? What happens if I don't appreciate it? Then it's even greater that I'm only doing it because Hashem wants. So at the end of the day, the highest form of serving our Creator is not understanding and not appreciating. Now, Hashem is very kind to us. Hashem loves us. It says so in the Torah. Hashem says, I love you. And therefore, Ahavti Eschem Amar Hashem. Hashem says, I love you. And therefore, I'm going to give you understanding. And therefore, I'm going to teach you Torah. And therefore, I'm going to teach you the mystical elements. And I'm going to give your prophets knowledge to share with you that you make me appreciate and understand. But Hashem could have chosen not to share all this information, just like a parent sometimes says to the kid, or a boss says to the worker, assuming it's a worker, that if you give too much information, or especially, let's say, in the army, for sure, give too much information, it might detract actually from the mission, because then the person might start using their own intellect and their own way of figuring out, and the general or the boss doesn't want any deviation whatsoever from the instructions. Don't use your understanding. There's a bunch of wonderful stories about that. People try to help somebody out, and you try to do something, and the end is you're completely messing up the story, completely messing up the intention of the person by mixing in your own understanding of what the situation is. Famous short story about this baker's a girl working in a bakery who a poor guy used to come in every single day, and he would order a loaf of stale bread from yesterday's bread or 2 days ago bread. And he looked so poor and worn out, the clothing and this and that. Anyway, one day this lady behind the counter feels bad and gives him a fresh loaf of bread. And not only that, but she puts butter inside the bread. Oh, short story, not Jewish source. And puts butter inside the bread. And the next day this guy comes back and he's so angry. He says, you know why I was buying this stale bread? Because I use it. In the olden times, I use it as an eraser, and I'm an architect studying to pass my exam. And I use this stale bread as an eraser for the pencil marks. And you gave me this fresh bread with the butter, and it ruined my entire project that I worked on for 3 months. And he was beside himself. So Hashem tells us the same thing. Hashem tells us that I want you to do mitzvahs in a certain way. Don't mix your own intellect in. I'm telling you because this is the way it has to be. And therefore, the highest form actually of serving Hashem is by the category of mitzvahs that are called chukim or decrees. And in fact, we're supposed to serve Hashem even with the mitzvahs that are understandable to us. Those mitzvahs are called mishpatim, the logical civil law. Even those mitzvahs we're supposed to do, which we understand. Be honest, be kind, return lost objects, don't kill, don't steal. Don't be cruel to animals, etc. Even those mitzvahs we're supposed to do with a simple sense of obedience, of accepting the yoke of heaven. So let's see what the Alter Rebbe says.
Rabbi, yes. Sorry, before you move on, I think it was actually a wonderful summary of what we learned so far, but I still got confused. So my understanding is that initially we discussed, not initially, but, you know, last time and today, we discussed that it's good to serve Hashem out of fear. Like you said, the yoke, you know, we should be afraid of the yoke of heaven. So it's good to have fear, right? And then we said that if we serve Hashem out of our love and because we think we may get rewards, that's not so good because those are selfish reasons. And then we said, I think that at the end of the day, we need to serve Hashem just because Hashem wants us to, even if we don't understand, we just need to, like, and then you gave us that example. So I understand why, you know, serving Hashem out of love and, you know, desire to get rewards are selfish reasons. And I understand that it's, you know, the highest level of serving is just because Hashem wants us to. But again, where does the fear come? Is it still good to have fear, or is it a selfish reason to serve out of fear? I just don't understand if fear, you know, is...
Okay, so that's
something we want to have, or is it, or even fear is not good because it has to be just because.
Very important question, and we're going to see in this chapter that of course you must still have fear of Hashem, and the reason is because this is foundational. So, look, we are humans; we're multidimensional, right? We don't do things just for one reason; we have multiple reasons. And the reason that we are multidimensional is because that in the language of the Torah, in the beginning of the book of Bereshit, it says Hashem created the humans in his image. Hashem is multidimensional. And being created in God's image means many different things. It means that we have the ability to speak, the ability to reason, the ability to love, the ability to hate, the ability to have emotions, and so on. We are able to be motivated by our intellect as opposed to animals. But we're also multidimensional. We're not one-dimensional. So what we're talking about here is the initial motivation, baseline motivation, bedrock foundational motivation has to be accepting the yoke of heaven. That's why I'm showing up. That's why I'm in the army. In other words, put it stated otherwise, I am in the army. I'm in the army and I've devoted myself, I've signed up for whatever the general, that my captain, my lieutenant, my sergeant tells me to do, I am in the army. Having said that, do I love my country? Of course I love my country. Why am I serving in the army? Because I love my country. And am I just here as a robot? No, I'm not here as a robot. I'm going to use every ounce of everything I have in order to make sure that my country is successful, that the mission is successful. Am I afraid of what's going to happen when the enemy attacks? Of course I'm afraid of the enemy. Am I afraid of losing in battle and being dishonored? Yes, I'm afraid of that. But this is all a layer on top of the foundation, on top of the bedrock, on top of the initial motivation. The initial motivation must be because of we are a servant of Hashem. We're going to see pretty soon in the text that if we don't serve Hashem with emotion, with fear of first fear of punishment and then fear of disappointing Hashem, and God should be disappointed in us. Our creator who gives us everything should be disappointed. That's a terrible thing. Love of Hashem, we want to make Hashem happy. If we don't have that emotion, then the mitzvahs do not have the effect that Hashem wants them to have. So in other words, God set up that when we do mitzvahs, there should be a reciprocal flow of energy coming from him, coming from the energy that he set up in the spiritual world that are the pipeline of energy to our physical world. Hashem set up that if you put a quarter in the machine, you'll get a can of soda. If you put $1.50 in the machine, you'll get a can of soda and also a sandwich. You know, obviously not today's prices, but whatever it is. So Hashem set up that if we put $100 into our bank account, interest will be paid at such and such a rate. But so that there is a reward for doing mitzvahs. Hashem set up a reward system or a communication system where we're not just doing mitzvahs and there's nothing that's happening on Hashem's end. On Hashem's end, we do mitzvahs and the mitzvahs accomplish certain energy flows into the world. But Hashem tells us that that energy flow will not happen unless you do the mitzvah with the right frame of mind, with the right attitude. It doesn't mean I'm not going to give you a reward. It means I'm going to store it up so the quarters that you're putting in the machine are somewhere stuck in the machine system. But the soda hasn't come down yet through the machine. The sandwich is still stuck in the machine. But if you do it right, then you'll put enough, you know, one day you'll store up all those efforts that you poured up, what that you poured into the machine will bring down the energy that you're looking for. But yes, the fact of the matter is that you must still have, and we'll see inside as we begin to read, you must still have fear of Hashem, love of Hashem, and the Alter Rebbe actually is going to talk in the second half of this chapter about ways to attain fear of Hashem and what that means for us. So let's see that inside.
So you're saying that the fear and love of Hashem, when serving Hashem, are the necessary layers of service, but ultimately we should serve Hashem just because Hashem wants us to, but we should have those layers to have the right attitude and right approach, right?
Yes. So the underpinning, the motivation, the original motivation has to be not because of us. We're serving Hashem because Hashem wants us to do it. Nothing to do with me. Whether I appreciate, whether I understand, it almost doesn't matter. And it's almost as if I don't appreciate, it might even be better. You know, that's the beginning, but that's not where we should stay. We've got to go a little further and we have to work on ourselves that we shouldn't just be robots, because Hashem doesn't want, again, the idea is, the concept is Hashem wants a relationship. So we understand this, that if we have a friend who's there every single day for us, or even our child, let's say, you know, your child does wonderful things for you, but it listens to everything you ever wanted from your kid as a model child, but the child is just doing every single thing you want and not thinking ahead, not never surprising you with something, like never going a little further, or your worker is like a robot. So I mean, that's a robot. Can you have a relationship with your robot? It's ridiculous, you know, today with AI, who knows? But you can't have a relationship with a robot. A robot is simply mechanical. Hashem doesn't want mechanical. Hashem wants a relationship. Hashem wants that we should care about him. We should think about him. We should go beyond a little bit. We should have a little bit of flavor to our actions, not just mechanically doing them. That's what Hashem wants. And where does Hashem say? In the Chumash, in the Torah. Hashem tells us, I love you, you love me, we love each other. So two people love each other, you act differently than if you're just a robot serving a master. Having said all that, if the basis is the fact that we love Hashem and that's why we're doing it, then it's ultimately selfish. It's a high form of selfish, but it's ultimately selfish. So you have to differentiate between what is the motivation, the initial baseline motivation, and what is the way you develop your relationship into. So let's say a mother-child relationship. Initially, the motivation is because obligation. You could hate your kid, you know, especially if you're a mother who just gave birth, let's say, and your kid is taking every ounce of your energy and effort, and you're waking up in the morning, middle of the night, middle of the afternoon, you can't sleep, you can't eat, you can't go on vacations. You could hate your kid, you know, but do you really hate your kid? No, but you're showing up and you're doing your job because that's my job. I'm a mother or a father is going, you know, doing this, whatever. Any level of responsibility, showing up to work, responsibility, that's what it means. But if that's all, if that's the sum total of what your relationship is, that's a very poor relationship. It has to be developed and blossom into a love relationship. And of course, that love relationship cannot happen when the child is very tiny. Then you love the kid because of yourself. When you look at your baby, why do you love your baby? Did your baby ever do anything to earn the love? No. But you look at the baby, you say, wow, this is part of me. Wow, this is a new life. Wow, this is so cute. Wow, this is amazing. But did this baby ever do? No. When the baby grows up, hopefully the child grows into an obedient child and doesn't give you too much tsaris. And then you have nachas. You say, oh, wow, look at this. This is amazing. And one day the child comes home with some flowers for you. So, wow, you thought about me. And it makes a picture for you, and then there's something else. And so, wow, you care about me. So Hashem has the same needs. And the reason we know this is because that's what it says in our Torah. And that's what Hashem decided. Does he really have those needs? No. But Hashem decided this for himself, that he wants to have these needs. And then we have those needs with our children and our relationship because we are mirrors of Hashem's relationship with us. So it doesn't work the other way. It actually works top down, not bottom up. We are who we are because we are reflections of the divine. We are reflections of the relationship between God and the creation. And therefore, we humans are so special because we have this entire range of needs and emotions animals don't have. Yes, animals have emotions. Yes, animals have needs, but not as complex as humans. Humans are much more complex. And of course, humans are much more capable of displaying, even though animals and plants, also plants, if you speak nicely to them, they will grow better. They have need for certain things, for warmth and sunlight and for good environment and nice music. Plenty of research has proven that plants react to speaking nicely, and to even research has gone into proving that the molecules in water react and are much more calm. If you examine the molecules in water under a microscope, they are calm when you say nice things to them. If you say a bracha on the water, you say a blessing on the water before you drink the water, if you say something nice as opposed to something rude, there's actually research that's proven that the molecules in the water react to the attitude, the emotion of the person who's holding them. Very fascinating stuff. So yes, of course, everything reacts, but humans still are the most sensitive because we are ultimately the created in the image of Hashem. So anyway, I don't know if that answers the question, but this it is a multidimensional relationship. What's the foundational, and then what grows from that? So let's see a little bit inside. One must constantly bear in mind the beginning of divine service, the core and the root. That means, although Yiras Hashem, fear of God, is actually the root of turning away from evil, loving Hashem is the root and does cause us to do good, to do mitzvahs. So there are two categories in the mitzvahs. The one category of mitzvahs is things that Hashem says not to do. The second category in the mitzvahs is things that Hashem we should proactively do. Don't be, don't steal, don't insult, don't do this, don't eat non-kosher food, don't do certain things. So what is the motivation to keep that, that part of the Torah is we're afraid. The fear makes you stop from doing something. What is the motivation from being proactive in doing any mitzvah? Give tzedakah, do something that is important to do. That motivation has to come from love. You cannot be motivated to do something simply by fear. Nevertheless, it is not sufficient to awaken the love alone to do good. Now, the Rebbe says that even though the two categories of mitzvahs, which one category is being active, the other category is stopping from doing things. So one would think that the category of being active is enough that you should love Hashem. And if you love Hashem, then you're motivated to do a mitzvah. Whatever the mitzvah is, go out of your way, help your friend, help the old lady cross the street, give tzedakah, daven, whatever. The mitzvah is facing you. Now we have Pesach coming up, to go to the Seder, eat matzahs. What's going to motivate you to go out and to get matzahs and to clean your house for Pesach and to not eat chametz is on the negative side. What's going to motivate you for the positive? Only because you want to make Hashem happy. Mm-hmm. Only because you love Hashem. Hashem says, please do this for me because I did this for you so many years ago. And I'm saving you throughout the generations also, as we read in the Haggadah. So please eat matzah on the night of Pesach. That's what it says in the Torah. However, the Alter Rebbe says, that's not sufficient to properly do the mitzvah. At the very least, even before you do a positive mitzvah, you must arouse the innate fear which lies hidden in the heart of every Jew not to rebel against Hashem. So that means that, and the Alter Rebbe previously told us in previous chapters, that every Jew, by virtue of the fact that we are children of Abraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, and Sarah and Rivka and Rachel and Leah and all of the great Jews in between, you know, back 3,700 years till today, we have in our DNA, we have a certain inborn attitude that even if we don't know about it, even if we don't feel it, we have it. That's the definition of DNA. You might not know what your DNA is. You might never have done a test and discovered that you have this proclivity or that power or detriment or whatever it is. But the fact is, that's your DNA. Your DNA is your DNA. The Alter Rebbe previously told us that every Jew has in their DNA, in their spiritual makeup of their neshama, this innate, inborn, natural fear of Hashem. Unless you get messed up, unless you do things that will harden you, will make you coarse, will make you indifferent, and then you can cover up that fear of Hashem, it's still there because that's your DNA. You cannot get rid of it. Meaning, you may not feel fear of Hashem. You might not feel the awe of spirituality. But every Jew has in their system, built in by virtue as a gift, by virtue of the fact that we are children of amazing, amazing Jews throughout the generation, as I said, stretching all the way back 3,700 years to Abraham and his family. And this, the Alter Rebbe previously told us, is you can prove that this is the fact. How do you prove it? Very simple. How about if a force, obviously a non-Jewish, but sometimes Jewish force, is going to force you to renounce your Judaism? It's going to force you to get rid of your identity. It's going to say, I want you to convert, God forbid. I want you to declare that you no longer are Jewish. Or, very simple, go over to the most secular Jew and tell them, you are a bad Jew because you're not, I'm a bad Jew. I'm not a bad Jew. I'm a good Jew. You're a bad Jew. How could you say about me, I'm a bad Jew? How could you do this? You think you're holier than thou, blah, blah, blah. So the question, the obvious question is, why does the person care if they're a bad Jew or a good Jew? And the answer is because that's what it is. Everybody, every Jew has inside their neshama, inside themselves, a connection to Hashem that cannot be taken away. It can only be covered up. It can only be submerged and subdued, but it cannot be cut off. It cannot be taken away. And when certain things happen, like anti-Semitism, and that's why the most secular Jew will react when faced with anti-Semitism, or when faced with, even by a, you know, another Jew who, let's say, is outwardly more religious, because who knows really, but let's say they're outwardly more religious, and look what's happening in Israel right now, you know, crazy stuff, which is another whole parsha, as they say, another whole story. But, you know, it's basically a fight between the religious and the secular, although it's dressed up as a political fight against Netanyahu and against corruption and this and that. But basically, it's a fight between the religious and the secular, which unfortunately has been going on for thousands of years in the Jewish nation. But the reason that there is such a fight, and the reason that that even an outwardly secular Jew will be very upset if the person is called a bad Jew, is because, as the Alter Rebbe explains to us, every Jew has a connection to Hashem that is inalienable, is not able to be disconnected from himself. And nobody wants to be disconnected. So when somebody else says, you're bad in your religion, you're bad in your connection to Hashem, that means that you're telling me I'm disconnected. No, I'm not disconnected. So anyway, that's what it is. So the Alter Rebbe says that if that's the case, or rather since that's the case, that we each have this connection to Hashem, it's important before doing any mitzvah, even a positive mitzvah, which seemingly we should be motivated to do by love of Hashem, it's important to also have Yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem. And in this case, the fear of Hashem is not that we're going to be hit with a stick, not that we're going to lose our life, not that our kids are going to get sick or whatever, you know, person could imagine in their head, a fear that if they don't do this mitzvah, this and this thing is going to happen. The fear of Hashem should be, we're afraid that Hashem should be unhappy with us. We're afraid that Hashem should consider us rebelling against him, that Hashem should look at us and say, how come you're not listening to me? That fear of Hashem. So every Jew has that capacity to wake up in the inside of themselves, this attitude, this feeling that we don't want that Hashem should look at us, God should look at us and say to us or about us or think about us, look at this person, how come he or she is not listening to me? How come they're rebelling against me? We should arouse the innate fear which lies hidden in the heart of every Jew, not to rebel against the Supreme King of Kings. This fear should manifest itself in his heart, or at least in his mind. The Rebbe says, optimally, you should be able to have this actually in your mind through meditating. But if this is too difficult, a person thinking, you don't wake up, you don't, doesn't motivate you. You don't actually feel that this is something that it should stop you from doing something or motivate to do something. Then at the very least, you should arouse this innate, this inner fear, this inborn fear of being disappointing Hashem, of being Hashem disappointed in you, which lies hidden in your heart. This is absolutely attainable. It does not require such profound meditation. This innate fear could be aroused either that it's felt in your heart, or at least in your mind, you should think about it even if you don't actually feel it. And what this means is, you should contemplate the greatness of the blessed Ein Sof, how powerful Hashem's energy is, how amazing Hashem's creation of the world is. And it extends to all worlds, meaning all spiritual levels, the higher worlds where the angels are, the lower worlds where we're talking about the spiritual worlds now, and then down to the physical world. Let him consider that Hashem's energy fills all the worlds and encompasses all the worlds, as we spoke many times, that there are two levels of energy that Hashem puts into the world. One level of energy is called an energy that is according to the level where it is. And that is greater energy, more power. If you want to use the analogy of electricity or water flow, it's a more powerful level, more voltage, of higher voltage when it comes to the angels, lower voltage when it comes to lower angels, lower voltage when it comes to our physical world. So that level is how Hashem tunes his energy to the level where it is. And then there's another level of energy that is and encompasses all the worlds, meaning that even in a place where it seems that there's no spirituality, this physical world where there's full of people doing bad stuff, even in such a place, Hashem's power is just as powerful as where the angels are, except that it's not felt. And this level is called the level that encompasses. In Hebrew, it's called the Sovev level, the level that is absolutely the same in the higher and lower, just covered up, as Al-Rebbe brings a prasuk, a proof text. It says, do I not fill heaven and earth? Yet even though Hashem's energy is filling heaven and earth, he leaves the creatures of the higher world, lower world, and uniquely bestows his kingship upon his people Israel in general and upon this person in particular. And what does it mean upon us in particular, each person in particular, individually? The Gemara tells us that every Jew has to think in their mind that the entire world was created for me. That means that if I don't do my job, the entire world is going to explode. The entire world is not going to exist. The entire world is not going to be the way it's supposed to be. It's like each of us are a little cog, a little gear in a big machine. And if one gear in the machine is not doing its job, it's true there's a big machine outside of us, but all the other gears depend on each of the gears moving in the right way. And if one little, look at the body, the human body, and we have enzymes, we have proteins, we have DNA, we have this, we have that. God forbid, if one cell from the whole body doesn't do what it's supposed to be doing, God forbid you have cancer, you have terrible things, and the whole body suffers. How could this be? Why should this be? You have a whole body that's healthy, and you have one cell that's mutating the wrong way. Why should it destroy the whole body? The answer is very simple, because the whole body is a machine that is dependent, each part on the other part. That's the way a person has to look at themselves, the Gemara tells us. Each of us is, not only does Hashem give us life, not only does Hashem maintain us every single day, not only do we have personal obligations to do because of that, but if we don't do those personal obligations, the entire world is going to suffer. The entire world is going to explode. The entire world is going to fall apart. We then, God forbid, become that cancerous cell that ruins the entire nation of Israel and, by extension, the entire world, because the entire world depends on the energy that flows through the Jewish people. What an awesome responsibility that is. It's an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility. Now, if a person thinks that we are, in fact, each of us is, in fact, that level of responsibility, what, are you not going to show up to work? The whole world depends on you. You're not going to show up. You're not going to do this one mitzvah because of this thing or that thing. What do you mean? The entire nation is going to lose because you're not doing, you're not going to show up to the Seder. You're not going to eat matzah. You're not going to eat the maror. You're not going to do this mitzvah, that mitzvah. The entire nation is going to lose. So how could you not do it? This is an awesome, awesome responsibility to take upon yourself not to do it. In other words, how could you take the responsibility to mess up for everybody? If you knew, if a person knows that the entire world is depending on me, all the movies are about that, all the books are about that, the one hero, of course, is one hero is going to do what the hero needs to do. The hero is going to save the world. So the Gemara says that each of us has to look upon ourselves that we are saving the world every moment by doing every mitzvah. A person, a Jew, should remind himself the whole purpose and intent of creation relates to him specifically, that Hashem should become king over him. When we realize this, then he's more apt to demand of himself that he accept the heavenly yoke. Of course, if you think that the whole world depends on you, and in fact, that's what the Gemara tells us, that we have to think about this. He, for his part, accepts his kingship upon himself, that Hashem should be king over him, to serve him through his will. Accepting the yoke of divine service, therefore, is required of all Jews. This meditation, of course, is not enough. You have to also meditate in a general manner. It's not enough. You have to think to yourself that Hashem stands over him and the whole, over this person, over yourself, and the whole world is full with Hashem's glory. Not only does Hashem see everything, but Hashem sees you. You're part of everything. We, each of us, are part of everything, part of the world. So Hashem sees the whole world and each of us in particular. And Hashem wants to know, are we serving him properly? Are we doing things the right way? And therefore, the Alter Rebbe says, we have to feel like we're standing in front of a king. And if we're standing in front of a king, then we act differently than if we're standing somewhere where nobody could look at us. And if you meditate at length on this concept, then according to a person's capacity, some people are easily affected by meditating. Some people can think all day long and it doesn't matter. They don't care. So it depends on the person. According to the person's level and according to how much free time you have, before you do any mitzvah, before you study Torah, of course, here is writing this primarily for men. So he's talking about talis and tefillin. Before you put on any talis or tefillin or any mitzvah, light Shabbos candles, sit down to the Seder, as I mentioned, we're about to do. Before you do any mitzvah, you should reflect that the light of the blessed Ein Sof, Hashem's energy, which, is, as we said before, encompasses all the worlds, pervades all the worlds, the two levels of energy, which is either as powerful in all the levels or it's according to the level where it is in the letters and the wisdom of Torah. And when a person is doing the mitzvah, you will draw down upon yourself this energy into your neshama. And this should be your intent. The intent should be that you, as a Jew, as an individual, should become bound up, tied up, completely submerged, and completely connected with Hashem's energy. Through tefillin, for example, the Alter Rebbe says you should think a certain thing, and through tzitzis another thing. Every mitzvah has another mechanism for connecting us with Hashem. So at the end of the day, what is the proper approach to doing mitzvahs? We're not doing the mitzvah because of the energy flow that we're going to get. We're doing the mitzvah in order to nullify ourselves, in order to elevate ourselves, in order to stop being the physical creation and physical creature that we are, but in order to accentuate, in order to amplify our spiritual side, our neshama. So this is how the Alter Rebbe started, Tanya, way back in the beginning of Tanya. Alter Rebbe explained to us that each of us have two souls. We have what's called the Nefesh HaBahamis, the animating soul, and we have the Nefesh HaLikis, the godly soul. And we're supposed to think, by doing any mitzvah that we're doing, we're supposed to think that our Nefesh HaBahamis, our animal soul, which is energy that Hashem gives us in order to be human, that energy should be subject and subdued and connected and bound up with the Nefesh HaLikis, the godly soul. And instead of trying to be more human, we should try to be more spiritual. Instead of trying to be more physical, more materialistic, instead of doing the mitzvahs in order to get more physical blessing, we should do the mitzvahs in order to stop being so physical, and in order to become more accentuated. Now, again, not that we should die, God forbid, not that we should have the body separated from the soul. That's not what Hashem wants from us. Hashem wants, rather, that we should recognize that the material is not material. The physical world is not physical, doesn't exist. It's Hashem's energy. So by doing the mitzvah, each mitzvah is another mechanism and another aid, another help, another pathway to take ourselves as humans, as material individuals, and make ourselves recognize that in fact we are creations, we are energy from Hashem. In fact, we should be connected. And this sort of answers the question we were asking before. How does it work? Are we physical? Should we have Kabbalah's all, acceptance of the yoke of heaven, simple obedience, or should we have love and fear of Hashem? And the answer is, it's a circular effort. We start with a bedrock foundational doing because Hashem wants us to do. Then we continue with love and a fear of Hashem. But ultimately, what should it lead back to? It should lead back to a submerging of ourselves into the general pool of energy of Hashem. So we should not be, as we're soon going to say, let's go a little further so we'll see it inside. According to the statement of Shulchan Aruch, when a person does mitzvahs, for example, tefillin or tzitzis or whatever it is, you should bear in mind that he should draw upon himself his blessed, the kingship of Hashem. Hashem is the king over all the worlds, over all the levels. Nevertheless, you should focus that this is something that is bringing down this energy to yourself. And therefore, when a person has this attitude in his conscious thought, in his rational will, and this submission to Hashem is beyond doubt, Alter Rebbe says, is sincere. If a person meditates and feels this concept, I am connecting myself with Hashem and I am all submerged and subdued and connected with the energy, you're not just imagining it. This is the nature of the Jewish souls. This, in fact, is our DNA. It's our nature. Not to rebel against Hashem, but rather to be connected. Then the Torah that you study, the commandments, the mitzvahs that you do, is termed then a complete service. Because we are then a servant serving a master or a king. Of course, it's prompted by fear and awe. But At the end of the day, we are a servant serving a king because of the bedrock motivation of accepting the yoke of heaven. We're a servant. On the other hand, Alter Rebbe says, if you study Torah and you perform the commandment with love alone, meaning that you love Hashem so much that you want to study His Torah. Hashem's Torah is so amazing and you feel so wonderful when you study the Torah. And you love Hashem and you want to do the mitzvah because you want to make Him happy. Then this is not called the service of a servant. A servant is supposed to be somebody who does because the master wants, not because you think it's good, but because the master thinks it's good. It's called an incomplete service if you're serving Hashem because you think it's good. Whereas the Torah has said, you shall serve Hashem. We read this in the Shema, that you should serve Hashem. And we read further in the Torah, you should serve, also Tavod, you should serve God. The Zohar says, we should view ourselves like an ox on which you first place a yoke. The yoke is the wood and the reins that we place on ourselves in order that the ox should be useful, in order that the ox should be able to pull a plow or pull a heavy wagon. You must have a yoke on the ox. If not, the ox runs wild. So too, a human has to first submit to the yoke of the kingdom of heaven. So what happens is, the Alter Rebbe says, that the Zohar says that therefore there are two categories and levels. There is the category of a servant who serves the master out of fear, and the category of a son, a child, who serves the father out of love. And these are both necessary in order to complete, to do the mitzvahs properly. The foundation has to be serving Hashem as a servant serves a master. From there, we can advance. And from there, we can advance to have a relationship serving Hashem the way a child would serve their parent, which is a different level of service, of a different level of relationship. Although one may find a son who is also a servant, it's possible a son should be a servant too. But this level, Alter Rebbe says, has to come through the higher level of fear and awe known as Yira Ilah,